Today on CityCast Houston. By now, you've heard us talk about Mayor Whitmire's new deal with the Firefighters Union. But beyond the headlines lie some serious implications. How is the city going to pay for it? Will Houstonians see a new fee because of the deal? And will response times get better? Houston Public Media's government reporter Andrew Schneider joins me to answer those questions and more. It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Raheel Ramzanali, and here's what Houston's talking about. Andrew, welcome into CityCast Houston. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
All right, before we start talking about everything that's happening with the budget, with the Firefighters Union, all that stuff, you're one of my favorite reporters on Houston Public Media, okay? So I want to give you your flowers right now.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your favorite thing on PBS or 88.7? Because I love learning about what y'all like watching.
Oh, well, probably my favorite thing apart from, you know, being able to listen to my fellow reporters has got to be Houston Matters in the morning. It's always a pleasure to be able to participate in that. You know, it's always a pleasure to listen to that first thing in the morning. Craig is a phenomenal interviewer and just gives me a great all-around understanding of what's going on in my adopted city.
Absolutely. One of the best shows on the radio. Love listening to that show and Craig. Awesome, awesome stuff. All right, let's talk about what's been happening, right? Earlier this month, Mayor Whitmire announced that the city reached a deal with the Firefighters Union. Can you recap what exactly was happening and how long this took and why it took so long?
This has been going on pretty much since the start of the previous mayoral administration. The Turner administration was never able to reach a deal with the Firefighters Union. They actively fought against any kind of new contract with the Firefighters Union. They were challenging them in court, saying that they didn't have the legal right to collective bargaining. This went on and on and on. The main concern that the Turner administration seemed to have was that what the firefighters were asking for was unsustainable in terms of the city's finances. Mayor Whitmire, then Senator Whitmire, was very adamant in his legislative duties that this was something that he wanted to resolve. He sponsored and got passed legislation in the most recent regular legislative session, which would require the city to go to arbitration if it was not able to resolve a deal with the firefighters within a set period of time. And when he came into office, one of the first steps that he took was to drop all of the remaining legal challenges. And that really paved the way towards a deal. Patrick M. Langton, better known as Marty Langton, who's the president of the Houston Firefighters Union, has repeatedly credited Mayor Whitmire with that breakthrough.
Now, before we talk about this new deal and the financial impacts of it, you had some great reporting on Houston Public Media about what exactly was happening in terms of response times during this absence of the deal. Tell me about that, because the numbers were not good.
No. And what I found in the course of my reporting, I did a public records request with the Houston Fire Department, and they provided budget reports for the past several years, overlapping the extent of the time when the firefighters were without a contract. And essentially what it revealed was that 8 years ago, roughly 8 years ago, at the time that they last had a contract, the first unit response times for both EMS and regular firefighters was about 7.5 minutes. Now, this is slower than most cities of our size would prefer, as you know, Marty Langton has said, and as I carried in my reporting, seconds do matter in response times, but it was worlds better than where things are now. In terms of fire units, I think the time has gone up to close to 10 minutes. In terms of EMS units, first unit on the scene had gone up to over 13 minutes, and it's dipped down to a little more than 12 minutes. But that's still a remarkable length of time. And the reasons that the union gave for this is twofold. One, because of the lack of a contract, they've had a great deal of difficulty sustaining their numbers of firefighters and paramedics. They've lost about 450 collective personnel over the past 8 years. And that's understating things a bit, because it doesn't take into account the fact that about 800 personnel were trained up and subsequently did not wind up taking positions with the department because they were, in Langton's words, so discouraged by the conditions there that they sought other opportunities. The other factor is that Houston is a growing city, and with growing population, you have growing demand for services, and that includes fire and EMS. So the number of calls over the past 8 years has nearly doubled. And that combination of fewer personnel and more calls has led to longer response times.
Wow. So it got that bad. And of course, it makes sense, right? Like, every profession is losing workers and people are reevaluating what they want to do. So that makes sense that they did lose people. But was it strictly because of the pay or lack of services that they didn't have because of the contract that didn't get done or the deal that didn't get done?
I think that that was part of it. I think a lot of it was simply the stress of doing what's already a very stressful job without having a contract, without having, you know, and bear in mind, over the last 8 years, the city has gone through a lot of, you know, disaster type situations. Yeah. So that's put extra stress onto the firefighters and EMS personnel. You know, we had Hurricane Harvey, we had the pandemic, we had the Great Freeze. And to go through all this without having the certainty of knowing that you're going to have a contract, and more to the point, not having pay raises over that length of time, that makes a difference. And particularly when you have other cities around Texas that are offering more competitive pay packages.
Ah, there's that as well, right? Like, why would I work here when I can go get something a little bit better somewhere else? Now, do you think response times will get better now that this new deal is in place and could go into effect pretty soon?
I think it's going to take time. It took 8 years for us to lose the number of firefighters and paramedics that we have. The union is optimistic that this will enable them to recruit more personnel, either through the cadet process, going through the fire academy and training them up, or through luring firefighters and paramedics away from other cities. Historically, Langton says, we have typically been in a position where a lot of people want to move here for a whole variety of reasons. His hope, at any rate, is that once the contract is in place, once there is some certainty in terms of raises going forward, that will make Houston a more attractive place to be a firefighter or a paramedic.
Houston's original neighborhood downtown is for everyone, and it's popping. It's our open-hearted home for our biggest celebrations and our treasured hidden gems. From the world-class theater district to incredible green spaces like Discovery Green, downtown is the place to be. In fact, more people visited downtown Houston last year than the entire population of Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, and San Antonio combined. There's no better time to live downtown than now. From starter apartments to luxury lofts, everyone can take advantage of the arts, business, culture, entertainment, food, and recreation. Now, you might think of downtown as only the heartbeat of Houston's regional economy, which it is, but there's so much more to it, including free events throughout the week with Downtown Houston Plus. From the Market Square Park Farmers Market every Saturday to Yoga Flow every Wednesday, you can find something to do and eat and watch in downtown Houston. Learn more at downtownhouston.org. Downtown Houston, get energized and revived. All right, let's talk about this new deal and the financial implications of this. You had a really good story explaining what exactly could happen in terms of the financial impact, what needs to be done for the city to afford this. Tell me, lay this out. Like, what are the financial implications of this new deal, which features back pay, it features raises for the firefighters? What all is going on?
The deal is valued at about $650 million. That includes a lump sum back payment for all current firefighters, retired firefighters, and the families of firefighters that have died since 2017. It also locks in an 18% temporary pay increase that was put down in 2021. And starting in July 1st of this year, and going forward to 2029, it includes a series of further pay increases, which could in total bring the pay increases for firefighters up to a maximum of 34%. Now, the city is in significant financial straits at the moment. We've been reporting on this for the better part of a year. The previous controller, Chris Brown, raised the alarm on this repeatedly. Essentially, the city has been using a series of limited options in order to fill gaps in the budget. Previously, it was relying on sales of property. Then during the pandemic, we had the American Rescue Plan Act funds, and it was able to rely on those for several years. But that ARPA funding is going to be running out at some point over the next year. And as Controller Hollins explained, the city is currently sitting on a reserve account of about $400 million. So it's got a cushion, but it's also spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $160 million to $200 million a year more than it's taking in. So that's not sustainable. I spoke with both Hollins and separately with Council Member Sally Alcorn, who's the newly installed chair of the city's Budget and Fiscal Affairs Committee. And they both separately said that there's only so much the city can do in terms of cutting spending in order to make this work. They're going to be looking at cutting spending wherever they can. Councilmember Alcorn said that she is not a fan of across-the-board budget cuts because there are certain departments, notably public safety, where that would be counterproductive. But you can cut only so far before you endanger the provision of basic city services and you have catastrophic layoffs. At some point, you need to find other options, and there are very few options. The city is under a revenue cap at the moment, beyond which it cannot collect additional revenues without going to the voters and getting permission. The mayor can go to the voters and ask for an exemption from the revenue cap for public safety. And one of our prior mayors, Bill White, did exactly that. But there's only so often that you can go to the voters to do that, because that requires a charter amendment. You can only pass a charter amendment once every 2 years. And of course, we did that last fall. So Mayor Whitmire approves and city council goes along with it, can make an appeal to the voters in the fall in general to raise taxes. There's also the possibility of trying to raise fees, particularly a garbage fee, which Houston has resisted up until now. But it's also the only large city in Texas that doesn't have one. As Controller Hollins explained to me when I raised this question, yes, that is a possibility, but you have to make sure that in doing so, you're not endangering trash collection if you're planning on using some of that money for firefighters. So the bottom line is that cuts to the budget are going to be part of this, but there's a very real prospect that they're going to need to come up with some new revenues in order to pay for that $650 million. Now, there's one other point that I should make, which is that not all of this is going to be coming out of current budgets. The back pay lump sum is very possibly going to involve what's called a judgment bond. Now, that's more or less what it sounds like. It would be approved by the judge. You'd need to get it further approved by the Texas Attorney General. But if it is approved, the city council would not need to go to the voters to get approval like they would for a normal bond. They would simply take out the bond, and that would spread the pain of paying for the lump sum for the back pay over something like 25 to 30 years. So that wouldn't come out of immediate budgets, but there would be interest payments due on those bonds. So that would also be part of budgets going forward for quite a few years.
Yeah, and that could total up to $1.1 to $1.3 billion, right? When you account interest and all that over the course of that bond.
That was what Controller Hollins estimated, yes.
So with all that being said, and now so many public statements being made about this deal, about what it's going to cost the city, will the Firefighters Union and Mayor Whitmire redo this deal, or is this deal set and now the financial implications the city's going to have to figure out?
The Firefighters Union has already approved the deal by an overwhelming margin. 94% of the members of the union voted in favor of it. The mayor is in favor of the deal. Really, the only hurdles at this point are it needs to get approved by a judge who has been overseeing the negotiations up until now. And I believe it needs to go through city council as well. And the judgment bond aspect would need to be approved by the attorney general. So I think the prospect of them going back to the table at this point, particularly after having gone so far as to make this announcement and spell out the terms as they have, is pretty small.
The reason I'm asking that is because Chris Hollins was even asking for a report on what is the pay like in other cities, right? And Mayor Whitmire's administration is supposed to get that, or Mayor Whitmire's office is supposed to get this number of how do Houston firefighters pay compared to other major cities. And the reason I'm bringing that up is if we're on the high end or if we're on the low end, like could those financial terms be adjusted a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question. And I mean, I think part of the thing that needs to be figured into this is that we currently have the third largest fire department in the country. We're behind New York and Chicago. We're actually ahead of Los Angeles because Los Angeles splits their fire department between their city and their county. But I think the comparison here is going to be not between those two larger fire departments and Houston. It's going to be between the other major large fire departments in Texas, because those are typically the ones that we're going to be competing with in terms of trying to lure or keep other firefighters. And this was actually a question that I posed more than once to Marty Langton. I didn't quite get a complete answer on this, but he seemed to think that the rates that they were talking about were competitive, which would imply that they were somewhat slightly better than what these other cities are offering.
Yeah, and that's why I asked. I was like, I couldn't find that number. I'm trying to figure out like where do our firefighters rank, right, compared to other major cities. So this is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, and hopefully this deal is done, and you know there are no major financial implications. We can figure this out. I know people aren't happy, but there might be a trash fee, and you know that's going to be something that we'll talk about if we have to cross that bridge. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. This was very informative, and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much, Raheel.
That was Andrew Schneider. You can listen to him on News 88.7 or click on the link in our bio for all of his work. And don't forget, our live taping is this Friday night at the Toyota Center before the Rockets versus Heat game. Get your discounted tickets right now with the info in the show notes. That will do it for today. Thank you for listening, and I hope you learned something new. On Houston Public...